Men, Luke chapter 2, the part that I want to focus on is beginning in verse number 11. The Bible reads, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And the title of my sermon this morning is Goodwill Toward Men. Goodwill toward men. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, I want to point out to you that one of the important reasons why we use the King James Bible here is that the modern versions have been corrupted. They're based on, you know, newer archaeological findings of older and more reliable manuscripts that have not been traditionally used by God's people over the past couple thousand years. So, you know, we've had the Bible passed down to us over the years. God has worked in the hearts and lives of his people through the traditional text for century after century, but now you've got these modern versions that are corruptions of the Bible. And it's funny because this is one of the verses that they change, even though it's such a famous verse, it's such a popular verse, but now these bunch of eggheads from Germany have come along and said, hey, wait a minute, it's not peace on earth, goodwill to men, but rather it's peace to those with whom God is pleased, or something along those lines, if you look it up in the ESV and you know, the NIV and these modern corruptions of God's word. But what you lose here is God's benevolence here toward all men, right? Because the Bible says peace on earth, goodwill toward men in general, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's back up a little bit and get the context. It says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," and don't miss this last phrase, "which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. He came to be the Savior of everybody. So Jesus Christ's birth is good news for everybody, right? It's not just good news for a select few of pre-chosen, pre-ordained few. No, it's an invitation that's open to the entire world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so Jesus Christ's birth is something to be celebrated by the entire world. Every single person has the opportunity now to be saved through Christ. Now, that's the positive side of things, is that the Bible is saying that this is good news. This is glad tidings for everyone, to all people. And it's God's show of love and goodwill toward mankind in general. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that if one died for all, then we're all dead, the Bible says. And so what we need to understand is that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Yes, Jesus Christ's gift of salvation is available to anyone and everyone who would just believe on him and call upon him by faith. But the reason why this is so important is that without Christ, mankind is truly doomed and has absolutely no hope. Right? What did the Bible tell us? Well, if one died for all, then the Bible says then we're all dead. You know, without Christ, everyone is doomed. Back up just a little bit in this passage. Actually, let's go forward first. Let's go to verse 25 in chapter 2 here of Luke. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple," verse 27, "and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And so notice again the universal emphasis here. All people, all men, everybody. He says here that my eyes have seen thy salvation. And what was he looking at? He wasn't looking at a baptistry. He wasn't looking at a church, right? He wasn't looking at a cracker or some kind of a sacrament, right? He's looking at Jesus. Amen. And he said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. Amen. Okay? He's the only way to be saved. And the Bible says that he is prepared before the face of all people, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And if you've got a King James Bible, it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. If you have one of these corrupt versions, then it says his father and mother, which Joseph is not Jesus' father. Joseph is just basically parenting him, but it's Mary who's his actual physical mother because, of course, the virgin birth. And so we see that Jesus Christ is salvation incarnate, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and Jesus Christ is the only hope for mankind in general. And so everyone in this world must believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. Without him, there's no hope. It doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter the nationality. Everyone is responsible for believing in Christ, because without Christ, no one is saved. Now back up, if you would, to chapter 1, verse 76. Chapter 1, verse 76. This is a prophecy about John the Baptist as the forerunner, the one who would go before the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 76, and thou, child, talking about John the Baptist, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And what is the day spring referring to? It's actually just referring to the rising of the sun there. And it's comparing Jesus Christ to the sun, as it also does in Malachi chapter 4. And it says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so not only is Jesus Christ salvation, not only is he the only one that can bring us the forgiveness of sins, through his blood we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, but not only does he bring salvation in an eternal sense, meaning that we're heading for heaven instead of hell, but also he actually shines the light on our darkness right here and now in this life as well. Because today, unsaved people are dwelling in darkness today, right? They're totally in the dark, meaning that they don't understand the world that we live in. They don't understand life. They don't understand the wisdom of God. They're in the dark. They're in darkness. And they are lost today, groping through this world with no direction. And the Bible says that people who are without Christ are without hope in this world. Okay? Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness and illuminates mankind, even on this earth. Because the Bible talked about glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, right? On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And that peace can only come through Christ. Peace in our hearts can only come through Christ. And not only that, eventually an actual physical peace will be brought about only by the second coming of Christ. And so the Bible says that Christ is going to come, yes, in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. But also in verse 79, he's coming to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace, even now on this earth. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. What does that mean to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death? Well, obviously, as I alluded before, darkness represents ignorance, not understanding, right? Stumbling around, being lost, groping in the noonday as if it were the middle of the night. That's the unsaved condition according to the Bible. But not only darkness, but the shadow of death. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that unsaved people are scared of death all the time. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, right? So the unsaved man has this shadow of death that's hanging over him all the time. And he could try to forget about it as much as possible, push it out of his mind, just get distracted with the cares of this world. But it's always there, isn't it? You know, there's always that dreaded doom that someday he's going to die. And maybe even deep down somewhere, he knows that someday he's going to face God and be held accountable for his sins. Because if he doesn't have the forgiveness of sins through Christ, then he's going to be in trouble for all of the sins he's committed in his life. And so it says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, right? Being in the shadow of death, it's like the fear of death. Death is right there at the door. We never know when it's going to end. Now, for the Christian, death is nothing to fear because, you know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? You know, I was talking to my wife a few days ago about just strange policies that were going on in Germany and just all kinds of strange rules and just weird stuff that the government over there is always doing. And I just asked her, I said, like, you know, what's wrong with Germany? Like, why are they so weird? Like, what's wrong with them? Why do they have all these strange rules and strange policies? And why are they like that? I don't remember exactly what we were talking about specifically, but she said, you know what? She said that it's like they're just characterized by fear. They're just scared people. They're just always scared. And so this is why they just kind of go with the crowd, go with the flow, and they're constantly trying to lean on this policy and that policy because they're just scared. They're just fearful. And it's because they're not saved. It's because it's a godless country. It's because it's, by and large, a very Christless nation over there. And so the further you get away from God, the further you get away from Christ, and, you know, the more fear takes over. But we as Christians, you know, we have nothing to fear because we believe that we're saved eternally and that there's nothing we can do to lose our salvation. And so no matter how bad things get, we always know that we're going to heaven someday. And we have that eternal hope of salvation all the time. But for the unsaved, it's not so. They're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 is a famous passage, of course, about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We were joking around yesterday about reading the Christmas story because you always read the one from Luke chapter 2, and my son was joking around and saying, you know, hey, you know, maybe we can mix it up and read, you know, Matthew chapter 1 or something instead of Luke 2. And then he jokingly said that if people really want to open presents fast, they could just read like the Word was made flesh. And that would be like their, you know, let's just do it from John this year, right? Just go to the shortest Christmas story ever. But look at John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so, again, the world today is dwelling in darkness, and the birth of Christ is that ray of light that shines in the darkness and brings, number one, eternal salvation, but number two, even direction and meaning and understanding about our life right now, even in this life right now. You know, it's funny that sometimes you'll hear the old IFB types, the other like independent Baptists who are on this kick where they think that, you know, God's not finished with Israel and, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people and all this stuff. And it's kind of funny to hear them talk. It's almost like, you know, man, the Jews, they've got so much going for them. They've got so much right. It's just like this one little thing, like, they're not going to heaven. You know, but now the thing that's so stupid about that is that, first of all, if you're not going to heaven, who cares about anything else? Nothing else matters. I mean, if you're not going to heaven, if you're going to go to hell for all of eternity, then why would anything else in this life matter? Well, at least, you know, we were on the right team in the Middle East. It's like, what? What does that even mean? Who cares? Nuts to it. If you're not going to heaven, nothing that happens to you or about you on this earth even matters. Because it's just like a little vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And then eternity just stretches on forever. You're either in heaven or you're in hell. Right. And this life is just going to be a shadow. It's just nothing compared to all that eternity. But number two, even now, even right now, even in this life, if you don't have Christ right now, you also have nothing right now. You're in the dark right now. So to sit there and say, like, well, you know, they've got so much right. If we could just get them to see that Jesus is the Messiah. It's like, if you don't see that Jesus is the Messiah, you don't have anything right. You've got nothing. And you say, well, you know, you have all the right rules. Oh, which rules did they get right? Thou shalt not kill. Because I'm pretty sure every Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim has figured that out too. Like, oh, wow, so complicated. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Well, yeah, Judeo-Christian, all right. That's called just being a human being, my friend. Hey, they, when it comes to their religion, they have all different rules. They don't follow the rules of the Bible. They don't follow the teachings of the New Testament. They don't follow Christ's teachings. They are just as lost and confused and in the dark as any other unsaved person. It's not like, well, if you're a Christian, you know, you're all the way there. If you're a Jew, you're halfway there. And if you're a Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, you're not even to first base. Folks, the Jews aren't even in the dugout. They're not even in the right baseball field. They're not even playing the right sport. They're not even in the right country. They're in a country where baseball doesn't exist. That's how far they are from salvation. Okay? Let me tell you something. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing. And I'm constantly trying to emphasize this to our young people, because our young people sometimes can get sucked into maybe looking up to the people of this world. Maybe idolizing or looking up to musicians, stars, actors, actresses, and thinking like, oh, they're such great people. They're so cool. You know, and I just go through life with this motto. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Amen. You know, oh, by the way, I got that from the Bible. That's a direct quote from the Bible. Because here's the thing. Anybody who's not saved, you know, yes, we should love them and feel sorry for them and pity them and extend grace and mercy to them and want them to be saved, pray for them to be saved, give them the gospel so they can be saved. But why would I ever envy someone who's not saved when I have everything and they have nothing? Think about it. I've got everything. They've got nothing. Oh, but they're so stylish and so cool and they have so much fame and power. It's nothing. It's all meaningless. It's going to be gone like that. You know, we as saved children of God, we're the ones that have the real fame and power. You know, we're as unknown and yet well-known. So even in this world, you know, we're not known. We're famous where it counts. You know, I guarantee you we could go to places in this world where the stars are unknown. You know, the big, fancy actors and actresses and singers of this world that everybody knows. You know, but we could go to Papua New Guinea and find some dude with a bone in his nose who doesn't know who they are, doesn't care who they are. And we probably wouldn't even have to get it. We probably wouldn't even have to get that obscure. You know what I mean? To find people who haven't heard of every Hollywood star or whatever. But I'll guarantee you one place they don't matter is heaven. And heaven's like, hey, did you see the new whatever movie? Hey, did you hear so-and-so's new album? Nobody cares. You know what I mean? So look, yeah, obviously we live in this world. We interact with unsaved people. We love the lost. We want to reach them with the gospel. But don't ever get to the point where you think that they're somehow better than you. Or you think that they're like a role model, like, well, maybe I can someday be as cool as so-and-so, because that's not a goal for the born-again child of God. It's a downgrade, because unsaved people have nothing going for them, because without Christ, you have nothing. You're without hope. You're in the dark. You're lost. You're confused. And, you know, not only do you have this eternity in hell stretching out in front of you, but you've also got even a life that makes no sense until then. And if you're Jewish, your life makes no sense, just as much as any other unsaved person. Okay. You've got to have Jesus Christ to have real meaning in your life, to have peace in your heart now, to be able to know how to live your life now, so that God would guide you and guide your steps and guide you in the way of peace and show you the right way to live your life. You know, you need the Word of God. You need Christ to do that. And a lot of Christian young people could just take that for granted because they just grew up having someone tell them, this is the way, walk ye in it. But they don't understand that people out there in this world, they don't know. They don't know what to do because they don't have the Word of God as a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. And so the Bible says in verse 5, the light shineth in the darkness. That's Christ shining, right? The Word of God shining in this world. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and he wasn't just born just for Israel, but he's born for the whole world, right? The whole planet and the nations of the world, the Gentiles, have access to those same promises of salvation through Jesus. But the darkness, they don't get it, right? The darkness comprehended it not. It says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And again, how many times have we seen it just this morning alone that Jesus Christ came for all people? Because all people without Christ are doomed. That's what the sermon's about. All people without Christ are doomed. Therefore, Christ had to die for all. And it always blows my mind that people get sucked into this Calvinist doctrine that says that Jesus didn't die for everybody. When there's just so many verses that say, you know, hey, this is for all people. It's for everybody. That was the true light that lighteth every man. Look at verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No. It's just for certain people. It's only available for certain people. The Bible says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He gave himself a ransom for all. No. Well, if you just use logic, if Jesus died for everybody and everybody's not saved, say, shut up, I don't care about your logic. The Bible said he died for everybody. Done! Case closed. He died for everybody. I don't care about your logic. I don't care about your philosophical, you know, wranglings and whatever. That's just perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. You know, trying to just twist up the Word of God through your logical pretzel. But, you know, the Bible is saying that the purpose that John was sent from God, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. What does that mean, that all men through him might believe? That means that the purpose or the goal is, okay, I'm sending you to go preach the Word of God so that all men through you might believe. Now, does that sound like, no, it's just certain hand-picked people. In fact, Jesus only died for certain people. It's not even available to everyone because he didn't even die for them. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, the Bible teaches that Jesus died for everybody. He died for every man. He died for all people. The gospel is good news to all people. Jesus Christ coming is exciting for everybody. It's God's goodwill toward men, not just a certain elect few. And then it says here that the purpose of the preaching of a man like John the Baptist was that all men through him might believe. Now you say, well, all men didn't believe. Well, that's because at the end of the day, it's a personal decision on their part. God says, I've set before you this day life and death. Choose life. And so it has to be mixed with faith in them that hear the preaching. The Bible says the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But what was God's intent, according to the Bible? God's intent was that all men through him might believe.
You say, well, is God not powerful enough to just, get the job done?
Folks, God's power isn't the issue. God gives a choice. Now, look, if I go out soul winning, I can't make people get saved, can I? I go out and I just preach the gospel. But when I go out to preach the gospel, aren't I trying to get everybody saved that I can? Or am I just like, well, I'm going to look for somebody that I want to get saved? No, it's just like you're going out there and just preaching the gospel to everybody. And when we preach to everybody, in our heart, we actually want everybody to be saved, right? It's like we're going out that all would believe. We want everyone. That's the intent. That's the goal. But the reality is that when we get out there, other people, they make the decision, I don't want to hear the gospel, I'm not interested, I don't believe in that, I'm trusting my own works, and it's on them. Well, here's the thing. It's the same thing with God. Okay, God has made the gospel available. Jesus has died on the cross for everybody, and the goal with preaching is that all men, through that preaching, would believe, but God doesn't force people to get saved. Now, you could sit there and say, well, could God force people to get saved? It's not the point. He's not going to. He gives a choice. He created man with free will. He gives a choice. And so it's not that God has failed in the mission, because Jesus Christ has made salvation available to all by dying for all. And as many as believe on Christ will be saved. But God wants everyone to be saved. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But here's the thing. It's also God's will that we would abstain from fornication. But does every Christian in this world abstain from fornication? No, because guess what? God's will doesn't always happen because of the free will that he gives man. But that doesn't change the fact that the Bible clearly says that John the Baptist in verse 7 came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. That was the goal in sending John the Baptist, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, again, if the true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world, you say, well, I just think when it says all, it doesn't really mean all. But it kind of cracks me up when it's so specific sometimes, like where he's like, he tasted death for every man. And it's just like, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Like, it even qualifies. What do you mean by every man? Every man that cometh into the world. I mean, I don't know, what if God would have just added the word like single, like every single man? Calvinist would still be Calvinist. Who here thinks that if we added the word single here, Calvinist would still be Calvinist? I do. I think they'd still be a Calvinist all day long. They wouldn't be like, oh, well, now that you say it like that. I mean, you got so many verses that do say it so clearly. I mean, what if it just said, that was the true light which lighteth every last man that cometh into the world. Every single last one of them without exception. They'd still be like, ah, no. But I mean, it says that he lights every man that cometh into the world. Like, I don't need any extra adverbs and things going on here. I get it. Right? So, now, does that mean everybody's saved? No, because Christ has shined the light, but at the end of the day, they have to believe in Christ in order to be saved. But that light has come into the world. That light illuminates every man that cometh into the world. The purpose was that all men through Christ, through John the Baptist preaching, would believe through that, pointing to Christ. And it says that that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And again, if Christ is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world, you know what that means? That means that anybody who doesn't have Christ is in darkness. Because it's not like the light of Christ comes along and he's like, oh, you're already all lit up? Okay, well, have a good day. Because no one is lit without Christ. Because Christ is the one, is the only one who can illuminate. The Bible says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here, Christ came into the world and he came unto his own received him not. He lights every man that cometh into the world, but yet there are those who don't receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So those who believe on Jesus Christ are the sons of God. Those who do not believe on Christ are without hope in this world. They have nothing. They are doomed completely, okay? You know, the Bible talks about having no hope, being without Christ, without hope in the world. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And so once again, we see that all men in this world need Jesus Christ to be saved, and they need Jesus Christ to even show them how to live their lives right now. Okay. Now, the famous verse that we started with said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Right? And if we break down that profound statement, we see, first of all, goodwill toward men. That's God's benevolence, God's love toward all of mankind in general, not just Israel, not just the Jews, not just those who will eventually get saved, the elect, not just a select few, but rather an open invitation to the whole world. God's willingness that all men be saved, and Christ's sacrifice for all, his light that shines so bright that it pierces even to the darkest soul and lights every man that cometh into the world, so that if anyone doesn't get saved, it's their own fault, because the light of the gospel has shined forth. And so, goodwill toward men. What about on earth peace? You know, what's interesting is that later, when Jesus grows up and starts preaching, twice he says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. That's kind of interesting in light of the fact that the angels who announce his birth say, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But what it is that Christ gives us peace in our hearts right now, and we can even have peace in our personal lives right now, whereas the Bible says there's no peace unto the wicked. The wicked don't have peace. The reason we can't have peace right now is because most of this world isn't saved. Yeah, most people don't believe in Jesus. And so the wicked are like the troubled water that's constantly stirring up dirt and muck, and there's no peace to the wicked, the Bible says. Whereas those of us that are saved, we have peace in our hearts, and God has also taught us the way of peace. We can live our lives in a right way that gives us peace in our family, or peace in our heart, peace with those that we love. And so there's peace on earth now for the Christian. Right now, not only do I have a home in heaven, but I also know how to live my life right now. I also have God walking and talking with me and blessing me right now. Okay. Which the unsaved, they don't have. They're in darkness. They're confused. And then the first part of that was glory to God in the highest, right? So glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill to men. You know, Jesus Christ has brought God the most glory in this world. You know, if you think about God's name being known throughout the whole world, and if you think about how the world today knows about the Bible, they know Genesis through Revelation, and they know about Jesus. Why is that? Why does the whole world know this book? Why is this book found in every country, every continent, every place of this world? Is it because God parted the Red Sea? Is that why this book is in all parts of the world? No. Is it because of the fact that God rained manna from heaven and fed his people? Is it because Elijah called down fire on the prophets of Baal at the Mount Carmel showdown? Is that why this book is known throughout the whole world? No, this book is known throughout the whole world because of Jesus. Okay, because when Jesus is coming as prophesied, the prophecy is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's what has happened. You know, this isn't just some kind of a local religion for a certain nation or a certain group of people, but rather through Christ, because of Christianity, because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, that's the ultimate, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, the ultimate culmination of God's plan that caused God to be glorified throughout the whole world and caused the Word of God to be glorified throughout the whole world to where the entire world knows who Jesus is. And the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. It's everywhere through Christ. And so Jesus being born 2,000 years ago brought God's glory to the entire world, you know, even as evidenced by even the date itself. 2022 is 2,022 years after what? Well, the current era, you know, 2022 CE, you know, I don't mind CE because I just say, well, yeah, it's 2022, the Christian era, you know. And BCE stands for before the Christian era. You know, so I'm fine. How are you? And so we see that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's peace on earth. Not world peace or global peace, but peace in the hearts of all of God's people. The peace that passes all understanding. Even on earth, I don't just have to live some messed up life and then go to heaven. Like, oh man, my life is so confusing and messed up and it's just a train wreck. But thank God for heaven. It's like, no, I have peace on earth right now. And I get to go to heaven. And then, of course, goodwill toward men is God's benevolence toward all men. Why? Because he wants everyone saved. Because Jesus died for everyone and he wants everyone to be saved. And on Christmas, we're proclaiming the birth of Christ. It's good news for all people. You know, and it's like sometimes I look at the world and I'm thinking to myself, like, man, what are you guys even celebrating? This is what I think in my heart. Like, what are you guys even celebrating if you don't even believe in Jesus? What are you celebrating? You know, somebody posted a comic showing, like, they showed a picture of the Flintstones having Christmas. And it said, what are they celebrating? And I said, well, they're looking forward to the cross. All right. Yeah. Obviously, the Flintstones aren't real. But, I mean, come on. The point is, though, you know, it's like, what are they celebrating out there? But here's the thing, you know, I thought about it, and even if they're not a Christian, even if they don't believe in Christ, you know, they ought to be celebrating anyway, because it's available to them. Because it is glad tidings for all people. It is good news for everybody. So go ahead and celebrate. You know, I hope someday you figure out what you're even celebrating, though. Because it really is for you. Christmas is for you. You know, Merry Christmas. Oh, I'm Jewish. It's for you.
Preach it.
Merry Christmas. Oh, I'm Muslim. It's for you. Christmas is for you. Oh, I'm a Hindu, though. It's for you. Christmas is for everybody. Why? Because the birth of Christ for all people, because everybody is in darkness without Christ. And Christ is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so it's for everybody. It's good news for everybody. It's glad tidings for everybody. I thank God when we go out knocking doors, we're like, hey, I might have some good news for you, but there's a 90-some percent chance that I don't, because you're not one of the chosen. But in reality, it's potentially good news for everybody. Because the only thing stopping people from being saved is them. It's right there. They can just reach out and grab it. It's for everybody. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that the birth of Christ and Christ's death on the cross and his burial and resurrection is for everybody. And Lord God, I just pray that those that are not saved would realize their hopeless condition, Lord. They would realize that without you, they have nothing. Help them, Lord, to find the peace that comes through believing in Jesus. And those of us that are saved, we, Lord, can sometimes maybe take it for granted because we don't, maybe it's been so long since we've been unsaved, we don't really remember what it's like to be in darkness and in the shadow of death, Lord. But thank you so much, Lord, for your unspeakable gift of salvation. And Lord God, I pray that those of us that are saved would always be thankful and keep that in our hearts and minds, and that we would also share with others the peace and the most importantly, the salvation that comes through believing in Christ. And it's in Christ's name we pray, amen.